If it opens the game up later or later in the season, if it opens things up for the two guys you're talking about, if it makes it harder to take them out of the game, then yes, I am.
I think that elevates your ceiling. That's the defensive equivalent of dropping Hassan Reddick into coverage. You do it a handful of times a game. And if you do it more than that, you're an idiot.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Friday's edition of Birds 365. Another week went by quick. Johnny Mack, let's talk offense. I'll start it with a quick question and get your overall opinion. What's your comfort level with Jalen Hurts going into the 2024 season?
I don't know if that's the case, because there's a lot of people who don't question Jalen at all. And I do think there are some significant questions that need to be answered, but I think he's a very good quarterback. Can he get back to where he was in 2022? I don't know. That's what we've mentioned that a couple times. And I brought up my Dante Culpepper story, and that's what happens. And that's why, you know, week one, I talked a lot about, I still have to see how Jordan Love, because Vic Fangio is going to spend a lot of time looking at what Jordan Love did well. And he's going to try to take it away. And he's one of the best in the business. And that's what happened to Jalen Hurts last year. And now he's got to make adjustments back. So we'll see how he handles it. We'll see how Kellen Moore affects him. He's certainly got the talent around him. Arguably even more talent from a playmaking perspective when you add Saquon Barkley to the mix. And whoever ends up being the third receiver, whether it's Paris Campbell or Anaya Smith or somebody else, probably going to be better than what they got last year, at least to a certain degree. Now you do have some questions, more questions than normal on the offensive line because of Jason Kelce retiring, but no excuses with the supporting cast. So I think he's going to be fine, but there's some valid questions to bring up.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about wide receiver three, part of me doesn't even want to go there because my concerns are less about Jalen Hurts' skill level and more about his ability to be able to get some of those guys in the game. Like, I know Saquon Barkley is a great back. I know A.J. Brown's great. I know Devontae Smith is great. But will Jalen Hurts use them properly, or will he be more reliant on his playmaking abilities? I said this yesterday. I don't have a problem with that, because if I was as athletic as Jalen Hurts, I'd probably try and do the same dang thing. But part of me wants to see him channel a little bit more of that, I guess you could call it Brock Purdy, where, like, drop back and get the ball to your playmakers. Like, almost let them take more of the load off your shoulders. And I don't know if we're going to see him do that. He's reluctant, I think, to do that and get the ball out quickly. I don't know what you think of that, but that's my problem with Saquon. You've been saying it since the jump. Like, how are they going to use Saquon? Everybody's comparing him to Barkley or to McCaffrey. Forget the skill level. They're not going to use Saquon in the same way. I don't see it at all. Do you?
I don't, and we'll see. Maybe Kellen Moore changes that. But I'm with you from the perspective of getting the running back more involved in the passing game, which I don't know why anybody wants that. Especially on the team with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, who we never even talk about. I kind of look at it like the NBA playoffs are going on now. And, you know, you have teams that have basically two dominant scorers. And to me, that would be like, oh, you got to get the third guy involved. You got to get the board. Well, why? You know, you saw last night, if you're an NBA fan, Anthony Edwards, who may be the biggest young star in that league.
That guy can play.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, I don't want other people involved if he's taking over the game. I mean, you know, just for the sake of it. And it's not a perfect comparison, but
yeah, no, I know
AJ and Devontae are the guys. And then it goes down to Dallas Goedert, and then it goes down to Saquon Barkley in the passing game. I don't want Saquon Barkley involved in the passing game. Why would you?
Well, because I think the ceiling might be higher if you are, and not specifically on just using the running back in the passing game. I'm talking about the ability to get all of your weapons engaged to make your offense reliant on some of the most talented players in the NFL. It makes you tougher to stop. It could get you out of a situation late in the season when your offense is stale. And, I mean, you just saw it with the 49ers. I don't think Brock Purdy is that good of a quarterback, but boy, he knows how to use the talent around him.
I think Jody's going to come out of Birds 365 retirement to yell at you when you disrespect Brock Purdy.
Well, I'm not disrespecting him. I actually like Brock Purdy more than most do, but yeah.
No, I know what you're saying, and there's a fine line, and that's why I talk about impact more than numbers when it comes to Saquon. I think, you know, if there's a big spot and you have a matchup and he's matched up on a linebacker on the wheel route, you need to take advantage of it. It to me, it's going to be about spots, not volume. The volume players on this offense in the passing game have to be A.J. Brown, have to be Devontae Smith, and then Dallas Goedert. Those are the volume players in the passing game. Those are the guys you're going to lean on in the passing game. And that's good. That's what you should be doing. So to me, it's not going to be about numbers with Saquon. It's going to be about impact in big spots. And if he's impactful in big spots, I think it'll be a success. I don't know if other people will agree with that. But one thing I say all the time about running backs, I said this all offseason when people were talking about Bijan Robinson, and we became Bijan 365 for a short period of time. If you're trying to get a running back involved in the passing game, well, play him in the slot. You're giving an NFL slot cornerback a day off if you're putting running backs in the slot. What you're trying to do is create matchups where the running backs are on linebackers, and then the right matchup goes in your direction. These guys are not receivers. The Eagles' worst receiver is better as a receiver, I hate to break this to people, than Saquon Barkley. They're better.
Isn't there an advantage to the overall offense to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith when there is a threat? And I'm not talking about being a slot receiver. I'm talking about get them the ball in the flats, take the dump off every once in a while. Like, isn't there a threat?
Well, the dump off, as I said, the dump off is not as big a concern to me because you have a quarterback. Like, I don't think anybody is asking Lamar Jackson to dump it off. I don't think anybody will be asking Jaden Daniels to dump it off. And I'm not, Lamar's on a different level. I get that. But Jalen Hurts is top five when it comes to extending the play. His movement skills and his ability to do things on his own from a running perspective when things break down.
Well, you do have to factor in the injuries, though, too, John. I mean, he was banged up.
But I can't. I say it all the time. I have to take advantage of the shelf life of the player I have. I can't worry about things I can't control. Every NFL coach I've ever met tells me the same thing. Control what you can control. I have, over the years, that has been drilled into my brain. So I try to live by that philosophy. Control what you can control. I can't control that. I'm trying to take advantage of the player skill set to the best of my ability and go win a Super Bowl. That's my philosophy on Jalen Hurts. Is the shelf life going to be Tom Brady level? No. I know that going in. But while he is at the height of his game, I'm going to take advantage of it. And that's why I don't have a problem. Now, if you want to get wheel routes involved, if you want to get them involved on bubble screens, I'm all for it. But that's where the the offensive coordinator has to get involved, and he's got to be more disciplined. That if he wants that stuff in the offense, he's got to put that stuff in the offense. And that's if, you know, if you're dominating, and that's why I brought up the Anthony Edwards conversation. If you're dominating with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, you don't need it. Now, if you're struggling for whatever reason, maybe you do need it. And then it's up to the coordinator to get, and I would say typically Nick Sirianni, but in theory, Kellen Moore's in charge of the offense now. We'll see how that shakes out. That's his job. If he wants wheel routes, you got to call a wheel route. You know? But the dump offs, I don't give a flying, you know what about.
No, I know what you're saying. Because like you have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, I'm not going to choose a dump off over those guys, but we have now the benefit of having one of the most talented offenses we've seen in modern Eagles history. Like, why not create an offense that is more versatile versus I put so much emphasis on those two guys. If that goes away for whatever reason, if the defense blankets it, if they're double, triple covering, like you saw Hurts throwing a double coverage many times last year, like create that other part of your offense. You say control what I can control. Well, I'd love to control the fact that I have a plan if they're taking AJ Brown out of the game or if they're taking Devontae Smith out of the game, that I can get the ball to Saquon. I can get the ball to Dallas Goedert.
Well, yeah, I mean, that I agree with. If somebody else is, you know, and Bill Belichick used to be famous for taking your top option away. Yeah. And then you have to, and that's up to Kellen Moore at that point to be disciplined to game plan and have that in position to go in a different direction. But all I'm saying is, you know, I go back to Jimmy Johnson and the Cowboys when the Cowboys were great and winning Super Bowls with Troy and Emmitt and Michael Irvin and that offensive line. They had three running plays. Everybody in the NFL knew what was coming, and they couldn't stop it. If you have a dominant player and they can't stop it, Keep going to it. I'm not going to stop going to AJ Brown because I got to get somebody else who's a lesser player involved.
No, now, I understand. But
if they're taking him out of the game,
like, can like last year the offense became stale. It became predictable. I guess you could call it. If you're able to get some of those other guys involved in the short term, or in the immediate game that you're in or whatever, does it create a ceiling that is goes higher because the defense has more to deal with? They can't put as much attention on AJ Brown, who's getting 15 targets a game. And now when the games get tough or you get to the playoffs, you know, it's harder to cover this defense. If they're going to take away AJ, that's fine. We'll beat you with Saquon Barkley. If you take away Saquon, fine. We'll beat you with AJ. You take away both of them, fine, I got Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. Like, isn't there, like, don't you see what I'm saying? Where you can.
I think I always call it laboratory talk in the offseason. I think that's what stuff where people talk about in the offseason. When you have dominant players, you rely on those dominant players. I mean, and I'll go back to those Cowboy teams. If you remember, the second receiver was Alvin Harper, if you remember him. You might be too young, Zan. And their tight end was Jay Novacek, who was sort of a good possession receiver. They weren't worried about getting the football to Alvin Harper and Jay Novacek.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
And Harper, you know, he was a big play guy, but he didn't catch a lot of passes. Because their volume was running the football, different era, with Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin. Two Hall of Fame players. Two Hall of Fame players. Pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it. If somebody stops it, then you got to go in a different direction. Now, that's one of the great teams of the modern era. I'm not comparing him to them. But the point was, you don't go away from it just because you want to get other people involved.
What's your fix for the end of the season last year? Because the offense became stale. It was predictable. Now, the play, you could argue the play calls were terrible, but what's your fix then? Like, if you're just going to live and die with AJ and Devontae, which I can't completely knock when they're two of the best wide receivers in the NFL, what's the plan when that goes stale or that gets predictable or defenses scheming out of the game?
Well, I don't know if it got predictable or stale. I think the quarterback, as we started the conversation with the quarterback in questions, I think he fell in love with the big play.
Part of the reason why I want to bring the check down into it.
But the check down could be in a different way. It could be him just taking off and getting a first down, or you can check it down. It's not that big of a deal. Don't force deep balls in Seattle into double coverage because you're not being patient enough. So a lot of it is just corrected by simple things. And these are not play calls. I always say, and even Kellen Moore, when he was asked, he said, well, what's the most important part of your offense? He said, clean operation, execute. Do the things you're supposed to do. And then it'll all fall back into place. And by the way, then on the back end, if you're doing those types of things, there'll be more options for the big plays down the road to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. My only point is those are my two best playmakers.
Yeah. So taking away, I get what you're saying. Taking the ball away from them isn't a great strategy, but okay. Then what's your use for Saquon?
Same as Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift.
You paid $13 million.
However, no, he's a better pass protector, so he's a better player.
You and I both know they didn't pay $13 million to Saquon to be a pass protector.
No, I know that, and then I criticize. I don't know why the Eagles went in the direction they did, because they could find a whole host of backs that can offer. The same thing that, and he's a better, when he does get options to catch the passes, he will be better than Miles, certainly. I don't even know if he's better than DeAndre. They just didn't use DeAndre because DeAndre is a pretty good receiver. And maybe Kellen Moore uses, maybe Kellen Moore uses those matchups better. And by those matchups, I mean him matched up against a linebacker. Maybe he puts that into the progression more highly. But again, I don't want to get too caught up into that. I don't want to go, oh, Saquon Barkley's my progression one on this play. That should happen at most twice a game.
Yeah, but I think you're missing. I don't, maybe it's me. Like, we went into the half. But
why would you, if you're, and everybody considers themselves an offensive expert.
I certainly do not consider.
But I'm asking anybody, if that's your belief and you want to spread the football around, and I'm going to give you A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley, and we're talking about the passing game, you're gonna put together plays with Saquon Barkley as the number one option?
If it opens the game up later or later in the season, if it opens things up for the two guys you're talking about, if it makes it harder to take them out of the game, then yes, I think that elevates your ceiling.
That's the defensive equivalent of dropping Hassan Reddick into coverage. You do it a handful of times a game. And if you do it more than that, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. Seriously, you have
Saquon Barkley. You're talking to me like Saquon Barkley is Miles Sanders. He's not. He's a better back. He's a better player.
I just said he was a better player. That's not the conversation. The conversation is you're drawing up a passing game. Why is Saquon Barkley in the conversation? Why? More than a handful of times a game.
Because the defense took A.J. Brown out of the game.
All right, then it's Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I got a ways before I'm down to Saquon. And hopefully, by the way, hopefully they can develop a better third receiver, and we'll see if they can. But this nonsense, and I'm sorry, that's what it is, of any running back in football. So people think I'm picking on Saquon Barkley. Any running back in football, with the exception of one guy, and I'm sick of mentioning his name.
I am too.
That you're drawing up pass plays for a running back. If you don't have receivers, the Eagles went through that stretch where they couldn't get a receiver with 600 yards, and they still had better receivers than running backs. If you don't have a receiver – in this era, the NFL, where they grow on trees and every year in the draft you get 50 of them.
Yeah.
But with this nonsense about Bijan's going to play in the slot, Saquon's going to play, they never do. You know why they never do? Because they're not NFL receivers. They're NFL running backs. They're good receivers for being a running back.
I get what you're saying.
They're not good NFL receivers.
I just wonder if I believe you're correct when you're talking about the passing game. Using Saquon is not going to be as effective as using AJ and Devontae. But from an overall offensive philosophy, doesn't it create a harder offense to cover for defenses if you have more guys involved that are making an impact on the game, regardless of whether it's in the passing game or in the running game?
That's why I go with the NBA. The best option and the best teams throughout history have big time playmakers. Nobody in San Francisco was worried about Jerry Rice getting the football. Nobody in Dallas was worried about Michael Irvin getting the football. Even lesser teams. There's nobody in Minnesota saying, hey, don't give it to Justin Jefferson. I don't know what it is about Philadelphia, but I would like to
have a backup plan if they take A.J. Brown out of the game. I would like to be able to have a competent offensive setup, or at least have gone through more than 20 throws to the running back or whoever it might be, you know, to go to that and have that option. Yeah,
but it's not – they have Devontae Smith, who's a two-time 1,000-yard receiver. And his third year as a rookie was over 900. They have Dallas Goedert, who's one of the best tight ends in the NFL.
He's overrated.
They have other players. They have other players that are more impactful in the passing game. So I don't give a rat's ass if they get the football to the running back. I don't.
I think it's less about that and more just about making your offense more dynamic. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a dynamic player. Yes or no?
Yes.
So get him into the offense.
He's a dynamic, and he will be as a running back. And very occasionally, again, Hassan Reddick dropped four times a game. Get him involved four times a game in the pass game. Everybody, but this nonsense of he's got to be game plan for and this bullshit. Kellen Moore should be fired. You know, Nick Sirianni, when he got here, said the offense runs through, at the time, they didn't have AJ. It was Dallas and Devontae. Then it became AJ, Devontae. It was AJ at first. It was AJ, Dallas, and Devontae. Now it's AJ, Devontae, and Dallas. And if Kellen Moore does anything different like that, they should fire him before he gets to his first game.
Well, let's get to a break because I don't want to keep Ryan Cameron, our guy from Philly Sports Network, is waiting in the green room. So I want to get to a break. But I will say, I understand what you're saying, but part of me wonders, like, okay, well, that's the same guys we had last year when we collapsed, had a historic collapse.
Wasn't their fault.
Well, it's got to be some of their fault. They're not completely absolved.
AJ set the franchise freaking record.
I know
that was here since Mike Quick in his first year for receiving yards. In his second year, he set the franchise record for receptions.
I get that. But situationally, as you talked about, situationally, you might not be able to rely on that at every moment. No?
Well, of course not. But the assumption that because you lose or you have a bad stretch, that you have to go away from your best players, your best proven players. No, you got to fix the other stuff. You got to fix the turnovers. You got to have the clean operation that Kellen Moore was talking about. You got to do all the little things. You know, when you see double coverage, you don't throw into the teeth of the double coverage. That's a good idea. You got to fix the little things. What you don't do is get lesser players involved and say, oh, well, yeah, AJ and Devontae are, I mean, and by the way, they just made AJ the highest paid receiver in football, which will quickly be usurped, but at least for a short period of time. And they just extended Devontae for whatever it was, $75 million. They know. They're not dumb. They're not dumb. That's what the passing game is. I'm just talking about the passing game. Saquon will have plenty of opportunities to get involved with the offense. He'll be plenty impactful as a runner. He's better than Miles Sanders. He's better than DeAndre Swift. What he's not is a slot receiver in the NFL. Stop that nonsense. That's all I'm trying to say. You're giving the defense a day off if you're trying to get that involved. What you want to do is match him up with linebackers, and you can do that judiciously a few times a game if you're Kellen Moore and if you're able to utilize it correctly.
Let's get to our next commercial break. We have Brian Cameron coming up next. Let me real quick thank James Carver for the super chat. Johnny Mack saying they're constantly running cover three buzz with Sam and strong safety rotating. Then Barkley assuredly becomes a valid three option and effectively one if playing good CB team with good free safety.
And where's Dallas Goedert? Where's Dallas Goedert in this assumption? It's just laboratory. Like I said, it's off-season laboratory talk. It's 21 pony. It's getting Darren Sproles and Danelle Pumphrey on the field at the same time. It's bull crap. It doesn't work in the NFL, which has these cornerbacks that are in everybody's hip. Now, again, if you start manipulating it correctly and get them matched up on linebackers judiciously, you have a chance to make impactful plays. I'm talking about volume. The volume of this passing offense is A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, if they're healthy. And if they're not healthy, you got to find somebody else that's not Saquon Barkley to give you some kind of volume. Otherwise, you're screwed. Screwed.
Let's get to our commercial break. Brian Cameron from Philly Sports Network coming up next. Brian, sorry for keeping you waiting. Make sure you're in the chat. If you're in the chat, drop a like on the show. We'll be right back on Birds 365 with Brian Cameron.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.